Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Appreciate you having my back, by the way. Early today with the khaki pants crew.
Oh yeah, the khaki pantsers.
I didn't catch it, but I saw that you have my back. That's awesome. Thank you, pal. We know the truth. It's hard for them to deal with it, but it's all right. We're all on the same page now. Man, Football Friday. Here we go. Championship weekend.
It's going to be fantastic. You know, there's nothing like the weekend that determines which two teams are going to play in the Super Bowl. Everybody knows that the Super Bowl is the big, you know, it's the big game of the year. But championship weekend, man, oh my goodness.
It's pretty exciting.
Depending on what time you play, whether it's in the morning or the later game, like when you win and you know that you're in the Super Bowl. Like, I remember watching, and I think we won early, and then the Minnesota Vikings missed out.
That was unbelievable.
No, I was like, oh, my goodness.
That was unbelievable.
I can't remember who played first or second, but I knew that Minnesota was out, and I was like, yes!
How did Minnesota not make that Super Bowl? They were so good.
I was like, yes, yes.
How did that happen?
Yes, yes, yes. Nobody. And let me repeat this again, okay? Nobody wanted to see the 1998 Minnesota Vikings.
You think you guys could have beat them?
I think it would have been a hell of a contest. I mean, yeah, I think we could have because we had that kind of pedigree at the time. But
it'd have been tough.
We didn't need to take that chance. We didn't need to take that chance.
Still double-digit underdogs to the Packers as it was.
You know, Alex Gibbs used to say, I want the worst team possible. The worst team that they can put out there, that's the team that I want to play.
That's crazy.
I adopted that statement as well.
They were such a good team.
Oh, my goodness, dude. That team was loaded. I was just watching, NFL Network in our break room, and they were showing, like, biggest moments of playoffs and, missed field goals came into play. And a lot of them, man, just a lot of missed field goals. Of course, the Ernest Biner fumble going in to secure the game to win against the Broncos and gave them the ball and a chance to go down for the drive. You got to understand what happened that game. Before there could be a drive, you get a guy fumbling the ball on the 1 yard line when his body is like, propelling into the end zone. If he just holds on to the football, they're going to win that game. There's no way the Broncos could win the game if the touchdown is scored there. And to give the Broncos the ball back for, you know, what would become known around the world of football as the drive, that's crazy. You got to think about all the crazy possibilities how each franchise could have changed after that. You know, the Broncos don't go to the Super Bowl. It's the Cleveland Browns. You know, that the Cleveland Browns win with Bernie Kosar in that team that they had. I mean, it was just so many things that were available to you as a fan that changed on a fumble.
Can you believe Randy Moss never won a Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
And he was on some absurdly good teams.
I can't believe, you know, the thing, the hardest thing for me to really believe is that Brandon Marshall, the wide receiver, has never been to the playoffs.
His career is probably done.
For a guy who will be a Hall of Fame.
He'll be considered. No, he won't.
He'll be considered.
No. Come on.
Brandon Marshall, career-wise?
He's not going to be considered.
Really?
He had a really, really good NFL career, but he never made it to the playoffs. That is stunning.
Because you don't make it to the playoffs, that means that you're not a good player?
Joe Thomas, I don't think he did.
Joe Thomas made it to the
playoffs. Is there anybody in the Hall of Fame who never played in a playoff game?
12,000 yards receiving. And
where does that put him on the list?
All time, I don't know. But he's got 12,000 receiving yards, dude.
He's not a Hall of Fame guy. Not even close.
Is he done at 34?
Yeah, I think so.
He'll be 35 by the time football kicks back in next year.
That is a tough one.
That is crazy.
Never playing in a playoff game. And play. How many years did Brandon play?
12 years.
That is stunning. You would figure in 12 years you'd just end up on a... That is unbelievable. That is amazing. You know, that might be a record, too. Who's played 12 or more years and never played in a playoff game besides Brandon Marshall?
That's good.
DJ Williams has a weird one. He's one of the only guys to be a first-round draft pick, play 10 or more years, and never make a Pro Bowl.
But made All-Pro.
When did he make All-Pro?
He made All-Pro, but not the Pro Bowl.
He made All-Pro and not the Pro Bowl?
Yes.
What year?
I forget.
You sure about that?
Yeah, I'm not positive about that. Well, he was second team All Pro.
Okay.
If he's second team All Pro, dude, that's Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but it's not All Pro. Second team.
Longest streak. NFL, no playoffs. That is stunning.
Are you sure he made second team?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at his career highlights. Doesn't say it.
Telling you. It happens.
Doesn't list it. Says he played with the Broncos starting in 2004 to 2012. Played with the Bears 13 and 14.
Maybe I'm thinking about John Mobley.
Pro Bowl player. He never was All Pro.
Maybe I'm thinking John Mobley.
That is a remarkable stat right there. You're a first round guy.
That guy was a hell of a player.
Who played more than 10 years and you were never in a Pro Bowl. That is remarkable. That means you were good enough to be in the NFL as a first round pick. You were good enough to stay in the NFL. You weren't a bust. You played 11 years. That means you played, and you just never were good enough to be selected All-Pro or the Pro Bowl. That is amazing. I bet you he's the only guy in NFL history to have that number, those numbers behind him. And I'm going to guess Brandon Marshall is the... I just can't imagine guys playing as long as he did and never playing in a playoff game.
Listen to these streaks right now.
Can't even imagine it, actually.
Longest postseason droughts in the NFL is 16 by the Cleveland Browns. This is through 18. 16 seasons. Number two on the list is Tampa Bay. 11 years without a playoffs. The Jets have 8 years without a playoffs.
And it can happen, man. It's
and
scary.
The 49ers, surprisingly, are fourth on the list with 5 years without a playoffs. Everybody... else is 3 years or less since they've been in the playoffs.
Yeah, the NFL just cycles quickly.
We're, by the way, tied for number five with like 14 with 3 years without being in the playoffs. Yeah, going to the playoffs is no big deal. Unless you're the Cleveland Browns or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's not a big deal. The Jets were without 8 years. I can't believe it's been 8 years since Mark Sanchez led them to the playoffs.
The Raiders went
I can't believe that was 8 years ago.
The Bills went like 17 years.
16 years without a playoff look from the Cleveland Browns.
Right now, huh? It can happen, man.
Everybody's supposed to be in the playoffs. The way that this thing looks, everybody's supposed to be in the playoffs.
It's really scary to see if you are mismanaged, you don't find a quarterback, and you're constantly changing what can really happen. It's scary. But then again, you have to be in the world of complete incompetence to be in that category. And you'd like to think the Broncos aren't in the world of complete incompetence. But we have gone 3 years in a row without making the playoffs. And next year doesn't look great. And the year after looks a bit sketchy. But they've been through 5 year strings before, even with Mike Shanahan. So... it's not the end of the world. It's just a wake-up call for sure. But we also have to acknowledge we're at the end of something. In 1983, John Elway was drafted. And in 3 years from now, his contract will expire as president of the Broncos, president and GM.
But you have to remember that this franchise has never drafted a quarterback to lead them in any significant way ever in its history. Never in its history have they drafted a quarterback to lead them in the last 30 years. Think about that. John Elway was traded for. We got Peyton Manning in free agency. Jake Plummer was a trade.
Craig Morton was a trade or free agency?
Yep.
From the Cowboys, right?
And, you know, when you start looking at it,
Tim Tebow
was drafted and won a playoff game. But you can't call that long-term success because the very next year he was out.
That's true.
So there's never been a guy to be drafted in this organization. And with all the success, 8 Super Bowls, baby. And you didn't draft not one of those guys that got you there.
How many drafted quarterbacks can you think of?
Drafted?
Yeah. In Broncos history. Without looking at the, ever. Period.
I don't know.
Can you list?
I don't know. I'm not good at that.
Let's try it for a second.
The only one I really remember that's drafted was because it was drafted year after I was is Tommy Maddox.
Tommy Maddox?
You got Tommy Maddox, Tim Tebow. First round draft picks. Okay. Then you can go Osweiler.
Trevor Siemian.
Chad Kelly.
Zach Dysart. Tom Brandstater. Okay, then you got to go a little deeper.
I think Jeff Lewis was drafted here.
Was Jeff Lewis drafted here? He was? Okay.
Brian Greasy.
So I got 9. I've kind of run it out.
And you know what? Greasy was a good quarterback.
Was Jarius Jackson drafted?
Yes.
Jarius Jackson.
Greasy was a good quarterback. I don't know what happened with him and Coach Shanahan.
He played him too quickly. No.
But he had a Pro Bowl year. I don't know what happened. Was it money?
He was just not a good leader of the team at the time.
I wish
we could have gotten Brian Greasy. I wish Brian Greasy now was Brian Greasy back then. It would have been a whole different ballgame.
Five seasons as a quarterback here. Yeah.
Greasy's like one of my favorite guys right now. Like he is, if you ever spend time with Brian Greasy, the dude is, first of all, he's a very fun guy to be around. He's real nice. He's super smart. And he's made Denver his home. It's been awesome.
Oh, Greasy's off the chain.
He's off the chain.
It was a young guy leading that team in 1999. That was a young guy. That wasn't his time.
It wasn't his time. He needed 1 year of Bubby. Make or break, see how it goes, and then that would have been...
Pro Bowl guy, and two, you know, 1 year later, he's a Pro Bowl guy.
That would have been a nice bridge to Greasy after that.
But guess what? Everybody needs that growth year.
Yeah, and you can't have distractions. Like, if you were going to do with what you did with Brian Greasy, you should have just moved on from Bubby Brister completely. But you didn't. You brought Bubby through training camp, and it really misled everybody on the team. Just set up a for example, it would not benefit you to have Case Keenum as your backup if you do draft a young guy. And by the way, Trevor Siemian was traded to the Vikings right after the free agency started last year. It was like March, 13th, 14th, something like that. So if you're going to get rid of March 14th, so if you're going to get rid of Case Keenum, that's the time to do it. So, Al, we're really only talking about 2 more months, possibly, with Case Keenum as a member of the Broncos.
Hmm?
There is no reason, if you're going with a younger guy, to have Case Keenum here. It's confusing. It's not a good environment. Should we really, Case, what do you think about John Elway calling you a short-term fix? That's fine. What's he going to say? He was given no confidence by Mike Zimmer, and now John Elway's called him a short-term fix. It's done. Can you imagine being called a short-term fix by a coach?
Short-term fix is hardly ever a good thing to say about any part
of... What would you think if a coach called you a short-term fix?
That I'm not long-term.
Yeah, I understand the literal meaning of it, but how would you emotionally think about that?
As an athlete, as a pro athlete, not a big deal.
Oh, come on.
No, seriously.
Give me a break.
Listen, you know when you were brought in, you know, like, I was a short-term answer for the 49ers.
Baloney.
Yes, I was. It was never going to be more than... The 1 year.
Did they offer you a contract after your year was done with them?
We didn't even get down that line.
Why?
I just needed to get that bad taste of the NFL out of my mouth.
Did you tell them you weren't interested in staying there?
Oh, no. I would have loved to have stayed there, but my ideal place was to come here and You know, I never left my house.
Did you tell them or your agent tell them we are not staying here?
No.
Then why didn't they offer you a deal?
I don't know.
Did they offer you a deal?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't remember. We never got that far down the line because the Broncos kind of came with it. And I was like, you know, that's where I want to be.
Okay,
anyway.
So the Broncos came with it. You said you were interested. And the San Fran didn't talk to you?
I don't think so. It was just a short term. Listen, I knew it. Listen, man, I had a deal with the Broncos the year before. The year that I went to San Francisco, Mike offered me a deal to come here and play alongside Simon Fletcher. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, I go to the 49ers and come back.
We knew that Case was a short term fix because he was offered a 2-year contract. He was John's just being honest with what we all knew. I'm just saying that once it comes out in public like that, there's really no going back.
Sometimes
there's no point to staying on the team.
Sometimes you can have a guy on your team and surprise you. Like Philip Lindsay really surprised us last year. I mean, that was a surprise. You didn't depend on that. That was one of the best surprises we've ever had around here in Denver. Rod Smith surprised us. You know what I'm saying? And Terrell Davis stunned us. It was really a surprise. You know what? We didn't have that many surprises outside of what we saw at running back out of Philip Lindsay. We didn't have, you know, the guys that were drafted. You know, Bradley Chubb was supposed to do what he's supposed to do. Did anybody else surprise you about how good they were?
No.
Anywhere in talking about free agency or a guy was coming back, second year to third year?
It was the opposite.
Right.
It was disappointment, not surprises.
Right. Like, I was disappointed that Case Keenum reverted to who he has been in his whole career. I was stunned. I was like, man. You know, because after a point in, you know, there's a growth curve in this business. Like, I know that this is what they're trying to do. I know how to beat that. That's what happens in the NFL. You say, okay, this is what they're trying to do. I know what the answer is to that. Let me execute. That's what usually happens when guys become from their early years in the NFL to their veteran years. Like, I know exactly what you're trying to do. I know how to beat it. Let me go ahead and do it.
Why do you think I was banging the table so hard for a quarterback? It's just that Case was a good piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, I get it. But
instead, he was the whole pie. It was like, this is everything.
But, you know,
and we're like, this is it? This is it? Really? This is everything. Yeah, and we also have Paxton Lynch.
That's the problem. That was the problem.
It's like, wow.
The real problem was that we had Paxton Lynch. That, looking back at it, that's why we didn't draft a quarterback in the first round, because Paxton Lynch was still on this roster.
But the thinking was so ridiculous.
I know, but are you going to have two first-round draft picks on your roster and a guy you just paid $18 million?
It was so confusing because on one hand, they were saying, we believe in you, Paxton, because they didn't draft another quarterback. But on the other hand, they're like saying, oh, no, it's Case Keenum. It should have been the exact opposite. If you were going to keep Paxton Lynch on the team, you shouldn't have got somebody like Case Keenum at all.
Got you.
You could have got rid of Trevor Siemian, that's fine, but you would have brought in, I don't know, whoever.
A Brian Fitzpatrick.
Exactly. And Paxton Lynch.
$4 million a year.
And you should announce Paxton Lynch is our starter. The Broncos screwed that up so bad last year. It's stunning. And as soon as they drafted Case Keenum, I was like, okay, great. I see what you're doing. You're going to let go of Paxton Lynch, and we're going to get one of these Hall of Fame Five. Love that nickname, Mike Evans, Mark Schlereth. Great nickname. We're going to get one of the Hall of Fame Five. It made so much sense. It was perfect. It was set up perfectly. And then they just choked. I don't know how else to put it. And that's why we're in the situation we're in right now.
That's okay, but you know, I know we always talk about where we are now. How do we get out of it?
Yeah, it's complicated now. It's way trickier than it was last year. It's way trickier. There's not an easy answer.
Well, I think it is. I think you have to go back to that same formula that you were trying to do last year, except go with it at a low-level quarterback, not somebody you pay $18 million, and draft you a guy. Or go get you a guy. Or go get you a guy that you can lean on heavily, like a Sean Mannion from the Rams, who has very little experience. But guess where he's played? He's played in Los Angeles with the Rams behind Jared Goff, the first overall pick. This guy was a third-round pick, didn't get a chance to play. He's got good film from preseason, and then you just bring him in here for a number, call it $6 million a year without having to draft the quarterback in the first round this year and see if you can develop him, see what he looks like. And if he looks great, then continue down the line with him. But if he doesn't, then you go ahead and draft the guy next year.
That's a plan. But I could also say, okay, Al, that's a good plan. How about this plan? You dump Case Keenum, you sign up Fitzmagic for $4 million a year, and then you draft Drew Lock.
Okay, cool.
That's a good plan, too. But
the only
thing about that one takes
two first-round picks to do.
Why?
Just this year and next year.
Why does that take two first-round picks?
Because he's going to be gone before 10.
Oh, okay, fine. We get Daniel Jones. And now it doesn't cost you two first-round. Now, that would work, too. Or you could say this. Oh, here's a good idea. Let's trade with the Cardinals because they want Kyler Murray, and we'll get Josh Rosen. And we'll give up our first-year pick. We'll switch first-year picks, and we'll be all set with Josh Rosen. And you dump Case Keenum,
and you sign up somebody else.
That could work, too.
Wait. So they give us the first pick.
They give us Josh Rosen.
We give them pick number 10.
That's right.
And
that's it. And that could work, too.
That would really work.
Right. So there's
all the compensation that you have to give up.
But then you could say, you know what? We're going to stay exactly with who we have at quarterback and not spend too much money. And we are really going to focus on the 2020 draft because we believe the 2020 draft is much richer in quarterback talent anyway. So we're going to hold tight and we're going to draft offensive line, defensive tackle, cornerback. We're going to focus on that. We're not going to give up draft picks. And really, we're going to get our quarterback in 2020. Mm-hmm. And guess what?
That's good.
That works too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my point. Last year was simple.
Bottom line is you can't go forward with Case Keenum.
No, there's a scenario you can.
No, there's no scenario.
I just gave you one.
No, there's no scenario.
You move forward with them this year.
No changes.
Because
you're going to end up being 8-8 next year, and then it's going to really cost you next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, then so, you got to give up the house to, and this is why trading Von Miller would make the most sense.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Al, I understand your objections to it, but I'm just giving you examples that there are a lot of different scenarios now. It's not as simple as last year. Last year was easy. We sign Case Keenum. We're going to move up to get our guy, Sam Darnold. We only have to move up two spots to do it. We're going to do a deal with the Colts, who really want Bradley Chubb or Nelson. That's who they really want, one of those two guys. We're going to move up with them, and we're going to get Sam Darnold. It was so simple. So simple. And now, now the permutations are, woo! There's a lot of ways it could work or fail. There's not an easy answer. I'm not shooting down your Sean Mannion idea. Okay, I'm listening. But you have to give me this. I'm giving you that. But you have to give me this. There's probably another dozen or so ideas that would probably work kind of the same. It's just not that clear cut.
I'd like to go with a guy like Sean Mannion.
I gotcha. But
if
we
go any free agent quarterbacks, go with that guy. Big, strong, big arm,
but
and 4 years of NFL experience.
You got to keep it real and at least give me the fact that there's another half dozen or so scenarios that would be equally as good.
I don't think so.
You think there's really only one way
obvious? I'm saying,
and Sean Mannion's the magic bullet?
Listen.
You don't really believe that.
Listen, man. He is a free agent. He plays for Sean McVay. Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan run the same system. He knows the verbiage. He's been in the system now for at least 2 years. So what's the big deal? This is a guy who's
I'm not saying it's a big deal. I'm agreeing with you.
I'm just telling you why it fits.
I can give you another scenario that fits. You go get Nick Mullins because he's worked with Skinner before.
No, you don't
want
to do that.
Why?
Because you have to trade for him.
So what? You
That's
trade
dumb.
A third-round pick for
No,
for
you
him.
Don't want to do that.
Sure you do.
No, you don't.
All right.
Why, when you can get a guy
Are you going to be this stubborn all the way through the draft?
No, I'm just telling you that. Why would you do that when you have the same guy?
You're telling me there's only
the same
one
guy who's a free agent. Why'd you trade a draft pick?
So you're insisting there's only one solution.
I'm telling you that this is the best solution.
All right, give me the second best solution.
I don't want him.
Okay. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
Hey, David, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey,
how you doing?
Super.
Happy Friday, man.
Oh, there you go. You got
it. Man, you guys are great on the radio. But so how come? Let me ask you this.
What's that?
How come you guys aren't talking about Joe Flacco?
Oh, because Gary Kubiak's
gone. Nobody want to see it, man.
Kubiak's gone.
Nobody want to see. We've seen that story. We know how that goes.
Trust me, if Kubiak was here,
then it would make sense.
We would be talking about Flacco nonstop.
Right, right.
Yeah, but Scangarello. I apologize if I got his last name wrong. But the guy comes from the Shanahan.
So do I,
right?
Apologize all the time.
It's Flacco's a Kubiak connection sort of thing. It doesn't really make sense any other way.
Well, doesn't it make sense from the fact that he's won a Super Bowl? I mean, look, there's my...
No, it doesn't. He's on the back end of his career. You hired a new progressive offensive coordinator who is in the vein of Kyle Shanahan, and Flacco doesn't make sense. And John Elway called... Case Keenum a short-term fix, which implies that you're going to go for a younger guy. No, Flacco makes no sense. If it was Kubiak, it'd be different. If Kubiak was here, it really would be a push to make the playoffs next year or in 2019. It would have been all about winning now, and now it's not. It's just a gargantuan game changer. It just changed everything, and that's why we're not talking about Flacco. But we would have been if Kubiak was here.
Non-conversation.
This has been a great week, by the way. It's been a week filled with optimism.
Starting on Friday, it was great.
Yes. A week ago today, things changed for the better, in my opinion, for the future. Just really fantastic. And every single coaching decision they've made, I'm a big fan of. Every single one. The guys they've retained, the guys they brought in, it's all made sense to me. Skaner's, you know, he's out there, man. He's never called plays in the NFL. There'll be some issues in the beginning, but it's okay now. If Kubiak was the offensive coordinator, we would need production like boom. Like, no rebuilding. It'd be like, if we're not 10-6 and we're not in the playoffs,
right?
This is a huge disappointment.
What are we doing? You know,
we would never be drafting a quarterback in the first round.
Yeah. If Gary Kubiak was here, we'd be like, okay, we at least expect to get to the first round of the playoffs.
I would.
Okay, if we don't get the first round of the playoff, everybody needs to go.
Agreed.
Everybody.
You know what the tone would be? If we didn't make the playoffs, we were like, why are we messing around with Fangio when the head coach is right there with Gary Kubiak?
No,
let's just stick him in there.
I can see it right now. Like, hey, what is this? What's the future plan? I mean, since Kubiak, Flacco is 34 years old.
Right.
Okay. And next year, Joe Flacco will be 35, and we will all be sitting around here, what's the plan at quarterback?
Right.
That's exactly what would happen.
It's different. It's just...
Like, are we going to go into year two of Vic Fangio job without drafting a quarterback now again?
It'd have been a mess.
Oh, it could have been ugly.
It probably would have been.
It could have been ugly.
Now, you have to deal with the fact that you might not have that great of a record next year. And the 70 tours, I guess the 70 tours is the same crew because the Broncos actually didn't make it 3 years in a row around then, too. It wasn't just 2 years in a row.
The 70 tours, they've ruined the whole process.
But
the 70 tours make everybody around here nervous because the 70 tours, all they want to do is win and not go through the process. The 72ers, if you don't know who we're talking about, are the people out there who banged the table last year and said that Vance Joseph needed to be fired because no team had gone 2 years in a row without making the play.
Losing record.
2 years with losing records since 72.
Right.
72ers. So we call them the 72ers.
Let's find some common ground. Do you find a reason for Case Keenum to be on this team?
No.
I don't either. So we agree on that.
Sound like you were making an argument for him, though.
No. What I was making an argument for is that there's a lot of other possibilities. But I don't want him. This is just what me and you want. What me and you want.
No, but this guy should be in his football prime.
Okay.
And he's not.
Do you want Case Keenum on this team?
No.
Starting in the OTAs?
No.
Neither do I. So it goes from there. We agree on something.
We're paying him for $25 million for 1 year.
It's a bummer, but that's the way it goes. A lot of quarterbacks make $25 million in 1 year. But yeah, that's the case. But you dump them and you save yourself like $11 million. Nah, you got to use some of that $11 million probably to, well, you got to pick somebody. But there's no reason that we can see for Case Keenum to still be on this team. Right? Now, that can happen at any moment, by the way. They can, and in fact, they probably should dump him sooner than later.
If I hear one more conversation about Scangarello being able to help Case Keenum become the guy he was with the Minnesota Vikings, you know, I'm not going to punch you, but I want to punch you in your arm if you say that to me, because it just.
Well, we heard that on the Zoakley show because they had a journalist on who said
just
that.
Just listen to what I'm saying.
The Scaner, you know, told Mullins to look at Drew Brees and look at Case Keenum in the offseason for guys to emulate. So
we saw Case Keenum play his best football. We should just leave it at that, bro. We should just leave it at that. We shouldn't make this. You know what? The Broncos were the team that paid Case Keenum for his great season in 2017. We paid him for that season. The Vikings didn't pay him. We paid him for 1 year, and that's basically what we are into the deal for. Good job for only limiting the contract for $25 million, because if he would have worked, it would have been
great.
The greatest bargain going.
Didn't work out.
But it didn't work, so we accelerate the $7 million, pay him $25 million total.
That's the way it goes.
And you know what, man? If you want to stay here, you're going to be a reserve. We're going to give you a minimum deal.
Yeah, but that doesn't even make sense. So you just say goodbye. And you move on. You did it to VJ. You did it to Billy Moose. You've done it to other guys. So just do it to Case.
Mike McCoy,
you've done it before. It's not a big deal. You just move on. Listen, John is not a wimp when it comes to that stuff. John, you know.
Oh, he's good at firing folks.
He's got experience there. This is The Drive.
It's The Drive with Big Alan Dimack on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Winners, we got losers, chain smokers and boozers, and we got yuppies, we got bikers, we've got thirsty hitchhikers, and the girls next door dress up like movie stars. Oh yeah.
Have a good time this weekend, tonight.
We got cowboys. We got truckers. Broken-hearted fools and suckers. We got hustlers. We got fighters. Early bird is an all-nighter. And the veterans talk about their battle scars. Bar. I love this bar.
Hey,
it's my kind of place. Just walking through the front door puts a big smile on my face. It ain't too far.
Come on, y'all. Come on.
Come as you are. Bar.
nothing. Nothing. It's Friday. I just don't know the song. I mean, I know what it is. I just don't.
Blue collar boys and redneck.
Now I may run laps around you in country music.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, dude. I just think they're all this. By the way, I was listening to like a new country station when I was on the road when I was in where the heck was I when
Oregon?
We were in Oregon? Yeah. And every single song sounds exactly the same. I know how to write one. Just give me a cliche. Give me any cliche.
Let's see.
Any cliche will
That's
do.
That's calling the kettle black, right?
Okay. Yeah. That's calling
the pot calling the
that's
kettle
the
black.
The pot calling the kettle black. That would be a great country song. It would start off something. You give me a heart attack, baby. That's like the pot calling the kettle black. And it would just be. She's got looks that'll tack. Baby, that's calling the pot. That's like the. Okay. She's got the eyes. She's got the looks. She's the person giving you heart attack. Baby, when it comes to love, that's the pot calling the kettle black. You know, something like that.
You know, one of them. I heard a smattering of booze back there.
If you gave me. I bet you I could come back on Monday. And giving you an entire country song with lyrics about the pot calling the kettle black.
Mm.
I'll do that. On Monday, I'll come back. I'll give you a country song.
I want you to hear this song. This is one of my favorite songs, man. Listen to this song.
Pot calling the kettle black. I love that.
Listen to this song. Yeah. Go ahead.
Haven't been to church since I don't remember when.
This is a good one, right?
I bet there's some sort of cliche. I don't know it.
Right, that's it.
They fell apart again.
The cliche, the hook will be a cliche.
So I listened to the preacher as he told me what to do. He said you can't go hating others who have done wrong to you.
Here comes the cliche, I can feel it.
Sometimes we get angry. We must not condemn.
Here it comes.
Let the good Lord do his job. And you we just pray for them.
And here it comes.
This is what he's praying about.
Yeah.
I pray your brakes go out running down a hill. I pray a flower pot falls from a windowsill and knocks you in the head like I'd like to.
Okay.
I pray your birthday comes and nobody calls. I pray you're flying high when your engine stalls. I pray all your dreams
never come true.
Here comes the cliche.
That's it.
Just know wherever you are.
Here it is.
I pray for you.
There you go. I pray for you. But trust me, that song,
right.
I pray for you.
I pray for bad things to happen
right,
for you.
Is no different than Time for Me to Fly by REO Speedwagon.
Oh, really?
I swear. Time for Me to Fly is just, you have screwed me up, I'm sick of your crap, and I'm out of here. That more or less is what that song is right there.
Right.
Yeah. If you were to play Time for Me to Fly, I promise you it would be the same theme as that song.
I
want to
hear that
right
now,
there.
Because I mean.
Here we go. Now, it sounds upbeat, but listen to the lyrics. Listen to the lyrics of the song and tell me it's not just like the song we just heard.
All right.
I've been around for
I've been there for you.
Been up and down
up
for
and down for you.
But I just can't get any relief.
Because you screw me over. I just can't get any relief.
I've swallowed my pride for you.
I've lived and lied for you. But
you still make me feel like
I've given you everything. You still make me feel like crap.
Right. Y'all got you.
Okay, you're a jerk.
It sounds like a loser.
Here it comes. And what do? You know what? Screw this.
I believe it's time for me to fly.
Time to get out of here. Time for me to fly. Is that the name of that song?
Time for me to fly. I have tried. I've given you everything, and you are a jerk. I'm out of here.
I make you laugh. You make me cry.
Time for me to get out of here.
I like that, too.
I pray for a flower pot to fall on your head. I'm done with you. same song.
Right.
So pot calls the kettle black.
I want that song by Monday.
I'll have it for you by Monday. You want music with it too?
No, you don't need to write a jingle.
It'd be easy.
Every
country song is the same thing. It's like three chords, got a little bridge.
Do you understand the phrase? That's the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. Okay. Don't worry. You start with the cliche in country music, and then you just figure the rest out.
Backwards.
Yeah, I pray for you. Hey, I got it. I pray for you for bad things to go. Oh, okay, right. Now let's write a song for it. We'll make it smart, you know, funny. Who sings that song? Pray for you to whatever.
I forget.
I'm asking Big Sexy. He played it.
I asked for it.
Anyways, that's country music. So you would own me in country music, because as far as I'm concerned, every single song is the same exact thing.
That REO Speedway sound, right? I know REO Speedwagon. That sound?
Yeah.
Is unique. When I hear that, yeah. I know it's them.
Yeah, because Kevin Cronin's got a very unique voice.
It's kind of like, if you were listening to somebody like with a similar voice, wouldn't it be like like an old school artist where you say
Bee Gees.
I stand alive.
Gib Brothers.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
High tenors. Yep. Awesome. Awesome singers.
Oh, D Man, what you gonna do this weekend, man?
Oh, I'm gonna tell you. Well, you can tell by the way I use my voice, I'm a woman's man. Go ahead, dude. Who doesn't love this, man? This is such a great song.
Hey guys, really quick, I have an update on something that's coming up.
Okay.
We're supposed to have DU hockey against Colorado College at 7 o'clock starting, but they have actually pushed the start time for the DU hockey game back from 7:30 to 8:07 due to weather down in Colorado Springs. So we will have the drive reloaded.
God, the Colorado Springs sucks,
We will
man.
Have the drive
oh
reloaded
God.
From 6 o'clock until 7:30 when we will join DU hockey.
Well, that's okay. Good. That's good news. Cool. There's more of us.
D-Mac, who you have this weekend in the playoff game?
I have got the Patriots and the Saints both winning.
I have the two young gunners, the two home teams. Well, no. I have the young gunner with the home team in Kansas City, and I have the visitors taking out and Marcus Peters getting his revenge on Sean Payton for his comments, defamatory comments that were made over the last few weeks.
That's like the pot calling the kettle black.
For my homeboy, D-Mac, for Big Sexy, the man that gets us through this every single day in so much style, and for Kyle Berry, couldn't do it without you, bro. Love the energy around this building.
Here we go.
Hey, man, for all of us around here, have a fantastic weekend. I'm Big Al. We'll see you back here Monday on The Drive on The Fame.
Hall of Fame 5, baby.